All right, here we go. Another edition of Rise Resilience with William, last name Lahong. If it's your first time tuning in today, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to click subscribe and make sure you tune in for more episodes. Today's episode is a fun episode, right? And I'll preface this by telling you how my day started today. So I dropped off my daughter at kindergarten. There she's got teachers, you know, she's got classmates. There's a whole world that she's involved in that she gets to be a part of every single day, Monday to Friday. But across the spectrum, let's say in KwaZulu-Natal, let's pick Ladysmith as the place. Let's pick Msinga as the actual pin in terms of location. In that area, there's another five-year-old, just like my daughter, who doesn't necessarily have all of those privileges, right? What does that then tell you about the country that you and I are living in South Africa? It tells you that there still exists a huge gap of disparities, if you want to call them, inequalities, if you want to call them, and the gap is very, very huge, which is why I've brought in today's guests, right? We've got Ashley and Sarika from Africa Tukun. They are doing really incredible work, ensuring that your child is able to read for understanding by the time they reach grade four. Why grade four, you may be asking? There's an actual stat that is currently making the rounds around the world, in fact. About 81% of grade four South African learners are not able to read for understanding. Grade four, if you want to really break it down, so you get grade one, grade two. In the olden days, you would then go on to standard one, standard two. By the time you got to standard two, if you remember correctly, you were able to read for understanding. You were even able to understand things like mathematically how to count money. So if you're not able to read for understanding by the time you get to standard two or fourth grade in this context, there is a huge problem. And it cannot be solved by just us assuming that, well, we'll fix it in grade five. Oh, let's hope for a better luck in grade six and so on. Like it worsens, right? It doesn't get better. It becomes even bigger. So Ashley and Sarika, thank you so much for coming to Rise Resilience. We appreciate you. I firstly want to commend you on the work that you are doing. Incredible, incredible work. Working with early childhood development centers, ensuring that at least by the time these little ones, like my daughter, get to grade R and they go to big school in 2 years, they are ready for big school in terms of understanding and communicating. Because learning how to read is not just about reading the word and stringing sentences along. It's also responsible, in my mind, for a lot of other things, like how we make decisions, how we look at the world, how we navigate the world, as it were. So I'm going to hand it over to you. And just tell me really where you are at the moment. And I know we're talking about World Literacy Day that we've just come out of. Congratulations as well on that, all the work that you're doing. But tell me firstly, Ashley and Sarika, how far is the project that you guys are running as Africa Tukun, ensuring that these little ones are able to read by the time they get to grade R?
Okay, so basically we... Africa Tukun Bambanani is our ECD program that we run.
Yes.
We basically are in 300 ECD centers across South Africa in all the provinces. We have 30,000 ECD learners that we've impacted with our program.
Right.
And 1,500 teachers that we've upskilled and trained in the ECD program and curriculum. So as we look at the funding that we receive from our donors and what our objectives are regarding what we need to do to upskill these centers, we look at firstly the centers, where they're located.
Okay.
We look at the infrastructure. We look at what, first we look at what impacts teaching and learning in that ECD center and that environment. So a lot of the times, because you can't just look at an ECD center and put in a curriculum, or you can't go and put in resources if your infrastructure is not properly maintained for that.
And by infrastructure, Sarika, you're referring to the building where the kids are learning what they need to learn, right?
That's it.
We know the reality of some of the kids just outside of our borders, they're still under the trees.
That's it.
Right, because of the lack of infrastructure.
That's it. And for me personally, when I see that pit latrine, it is just crazy that in today's times we are still dealing with ECD centers that have pit latrines.
Still,
pit latrines, many of them. And the fear is obviously, you know, with the stats of kids falling into those pit latrines. And so we look at also filling that gap regarding putting infrastructure in to put a toilet on that pit latrine. But most important for us is uplifting and upskilling our education system regarding the teachers, the parents, and the learners with our curriculum.
I love that.
I think that's important.
This now actually brings everyone to a level playing field, right?
Absolutely.
We're able to then give opportunities or open doors for everybody to be equal, so
100%,
to speak.
100%. Because just because of the community that you come from,
yeah,
you know, being in a disadvantaged or rural area,
yeah,
that why does that mean that you need to, your quality of education needs to be less than your peers who are living in a more urban, privileged area?
Right.
No. All children are deserving of proper, fair, equal education.
Sure.
And that is our goal, our end goal. Mm. You know, I think also a lot of people have this mindset that early childhood development is just where children just go to play.
Right.
Yes, there's lots of learning through play, absolutely. But all those fundamental educational skill sets, that is where it comes actually into play, you know. They need those in order to carry them through the rest of the educational journey. If they don't have those important literacy skills and numeracy skills, everything is going to have a negative domino effect throughout their school.
Of course.
And let's also remember, with literacy and reading and writing, it's not just for reading a book.
No.
You need that skill in all your other subjects.
Yes.
If you can't read and write, what's going to happen when you know, you're in your EMS subjects?
Right.
You know, for instance, your maths.
Right.
How are you going to work out your mathematical problem,
yeah,
if you don't know how to read and write? Because that's also how your brain is thinking and reasoning and all of those things. So that's why implementing it now is so important, but also giving these children in those communities,
yes,
the opportunity to change the trajectory of their life,
right,
is even more important. Because just because you are born in that community doesn't mean that that is going to be your life story. We can break that cycle, and that's what we're trying to do.
I love that. That deserves a round of applause. We cannot be defined by our circumstances, our background, the community where we've come from, right? With that, I was also reading, and it was telling me that there's an understanding, or they did research, and they found that by the time you get to a certain grade, or by the time you are, I don't know grade four, right? You need to have at least read 10,000 books. 10,000 books. She was. Have you read 10,000 books, Ashley? Have you, Sarika?
You know, I do.
Have
enjoy,
you, William? I haven't read 10,000 books.
I do enjoy reading.
Love reading, but I don't think I'm at 10,000. And I'm not saying this to be funny, right? But I'm just putting it in context of where the world is and where it's going.
I think it's also, I think that stat is also taking into children being read a book.
Right.
Yeah. You
yes,
know what I mean? Because,
yes,
for instance, a five-year-old, not many five-year-olds can read, you know?
Right.
There we're building on their pre-reading and writing skills.
Yes.
So it's also about bringing in the parent,
right,
or the, yes, grandmother, and reading to them.
Right.
But then here comes another issue that Sarika and I were discussing,
yeah,
earlier.
Sure.
Is how the grandparents or parents in some of these communities cannot read.
Yes.
So how can a child be exposed to 10,000 books by the time they're 10 if granny or mommy or auntie or uncle cannot read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a large community of those caregivers have that as a backstory, and it's almost common.
Yes, so
for a lot of children.
So what we look at in those communities, because many communities you get parents that are illiterate.
Yes.
And so in those communities, what we normally do is there is a link between parental involvement, which is very crucial.
Yes.
In our in our ECD space.
Right.
So when I mean ECD lays the foundation for a child's career, education career.
Sure.
So when we look at our ECD centers, and to close that gap, we basically looked at putting libraries in our ECD centers. So ECD centers will now have a library.
Right.
We put a shelf with books and nice cushions so they can have a nice corner to relax and read. But also, you've got to get your parental involvement with respect to understanding how to teach the child to read at home as well,
right,
and to get them involved. So how do you get an illiterate parent involved in understanding the importance of teaching your child literacy?
Yeah.
So basically we run these training sessions, we run workshops. We basically explain to the parent, you don't necessarily, if you cannot read a book, it doesn't mean that you can't educate your child with literacy.
Mm.
I mean, when you go to a store, when you look at in the house, you can talk about stories, the folklore stories, you can bring in all those things. You can then also, when you're going out to a McDonald's or you're going out, you're looking at labeling things, you know?
Yeah.
Like
signage.
Signage. You're looking at in the house, you can label things around the house. So basically inculcate a culture of the child, of a literacy culture.
And what feedback have you received? I mean, are the caregivers, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the mamnganes and the babnganes, are they taking on to this invitation? Are they coming on to support the child?
Definitely. Yeah. And you know what we found is that many of the parents, we actually underestimate our parents. They want to learn. They
right.
want to be involved. It's the system that will say, no, the parent is not involved. But no, we've basically found the opposite. Parents are very much involved. They want to come in. And also, who said we can stop? We must stop there. Call the parents in and have a workshop. Teach the parent how to read.
Right.
Yeah. And
who said you can't teach a 50, 60-year-old parent to read? Because we've had them. They've come in.
A lot of the times, the reason that I've seen, and I'm just speaking from experience from what I've seen, right? You'll find the content that the child is presenting you with intimidating. Right. So that intimidation alone is very reason enough or justifies the apprehension that would come from the parent. So if they are now being invited and are being included in the system to support this child to get to a point of understanding any material that they're reading, then the apprehension falls away automatically because I'm now being involved.
Exactly. And I think you're not bringing them in with someone who can read a 450-page book.
Yes.
The parents who are in these workshops are all, in a sense, beginner level, you know, beginner
right.
entry level.
We all so teach each other.
Exactly. And you relate to each other. And also, I mean, let's also take this whole stigma, if you want to call it, that, you know, embarrassment that I can't read. Because there's no time limit to learning.
Mm.
My goodness, I'm 39. I'm learning every single day. You know, I'm
right.
learning something new. So instead of, you know, letting them feel maybe a bit embarrassed or shameful or what have you, encourage them and celebrate them that they're
yes.
actually you taking charge and learning how to read. You know, that's showing their children, grandchildren. That's a huge positive life lesson that you're telling your child, you know, to that it's never too late to learn, but also embrace the learning and embrace this opportunity to learn, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And have you found, Sarika and Ashley, that the language is also a big part of it, right? So you've got the parent who is, in your own words, illiterate, we'll use that word, who wants to be involved, but also there's a language barrier, right? So the content also now needs to speak to, I'll use the phrase, mother tongue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that the understanding thereof becomes a lot more quicker, if you will.
Yes.
And then the articulation from this person who we are all supporting, which is the child, it will be even better because they're understanding the content that is being presented by, I mean, in their mother tongue. Essentially, then it becomes easier to learn
Definitely.
Other languages, other content presented in other languages.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you recently in the media, a lot of chat regarding the Bellable.
Yes.
And the language.
We were talking about it this morning in our news diary meetings. Yes.
Yeah, so basically, the administration part of ensuring that the language is selected by the HOD of the schools and basically, your SGB will now be looking at what language of instruction will be at the center of it. But if you look at your ECD centers, the language of instruction is what the community speaks. It's your mother tongue. And we haven't taken that away from them.
Right.
So whether we've implemented a curriculum or a Bamba Learn app with literacy and numeracy, it's in the language that they are speaking in.
Yes.
They don't have to sort of like be apart from, like separate the content from that.
And I think it focuses on the diversity of the country we live in.
Yes.
Right.
And our, along with our curriculum, we also have an EdTech app called Bambaloon.
Mm.
So that is the curriculum in game form. But on the app is that we actually have a visual and audio books, which is amazing.
Right.
And we are now, our goal and we're working towards is making sure that all our audiobooks are in all the 11 official languages.
Right.
So that all children from all backgrounds, all cultures, can experience the joy of learning and the joy of reading. So that is, you know, that is our goal because exactly like Sreek was saying, these young learners living in these communities, that is their mother tongue. That is what they're going to understand. So when we're going to be bringing in a new concept, let's bring it in the language that they understand. Once we've got that foundation, then obviously English is universal. They're going, everyone needs English wherever you are in the world. It's our universal language.
Right.
And then we'll bring in English. But let's not move away from their culture and their background.
Yeah.
No.
I love that. Yeah. I love that because therein lies an opportunity to even encourage more inclusivity, right?
Yes.
So if Uncle finds that, oh, actually this bit is interesting, he's going to call a friend. Trust me, he's going to call a friend and then the entire community is now involved.
Exactly. So in our ECD centers, the teachers teach in, if you look at, let's say, a morning ring, where we're a discussion in the morning ring, which is part of a daily program of an ECD classroom,
okay.
The first thing that they do, the discussions and the teaching and learning is basically dual. The teacher code switch.
Right.
She code switches. She'll have the labels in whatever the mother tongue language is, and she'll have it in English as well.
Right.
We don't separate that, but a child at ECD level can take in so many languages. Their brains are like sponges. They can absorb language. They can, and that's what we must not negate because they're amazing. These minds are absolutely amazing. When that little one can see a dual language being pasted on the wall, like, what do you say for Tuesday in your language and English? I mean, I went to, a inclusion school. Our curriculum is put in an inclusion school.
Mm.
And I went there and I was blown away. This teacher is teaching in four languages. She's teaching in English, in Afrikaans, in Sotho, or Khoisa, whichever class they were in, and in sign language.
And in sign. Incredible.
And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That deserves a round of applause. Wow.
So, we must not underestimate our children's potential.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Don't and give them that opportunity. The thing is, if we give them that opportunity, they will take it.
Of course.
Let a child experience what teaching and learning is. And let them experience how do you look when your mind grows and when your mind absorbs things? And how does the future look for you in that respect? Who say the child that is sitting in an ECD class and says, I want to be this one day, cannot be that?
Yeah.
And that's what we must move them to think. That's what we must give them, that opportunity. We must give them that tools. We must give them that energy to say, I want to be this one day. I always say when I go to the rural places, that little boy one day, who said he won't be a president?
Yeah.
How do you know he will not be?
And we feel that imagination and inspiration, if you will, through reading.
That's it.
Right? That's the gateway.
That's it.
Sure. Right?
I promise
because
you.
Because it then paints you the world in however your mind sees it. But all of it starts with just the understanding of what it is you are reading.
And you know what? I think as well, to get children engaged in reading and, you know, because let's be real, lots of people, kids think, oh, reading is so boring. Oh, why do I need to read? Well, reading is boring is because you're asking them to read something that has no interest to them. But if they are very interested in sports cars, give them a book or not, you know, also not even a book, a magazine relating to sports cars.
Things that they're passionate about.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys look at this car? Ooh. And it's got this engine and this, that, the next thing, you know? So I think also make reading relatable to what interests that child.
Right.
And also when we're reading, let's not read, oh, the cat's sat in the house on a sunny day.
Don't make
boring.
It monotonous.
You're going, yes. No one's going to want to read that. You're going to fall asleep.
Yes.
You know, you've got to
wait,
use it.
Wait, Ashley, wait. It sounds like you were calling me out now. Do I now need to go back and then perhaps find newer ways of driving that imagination, making the story more colorful, so that it's not
change voices,
but it's
play characters.
Yes. But that is what we train the teacher on,
right?
So when a teacher reads in an ECD classroom, you got to change your voice,
right,
to suit the characters in the book.
So immerse yourself in the story.
That's it.
Yeah,
and use puppets. Different resources to make it interesting.
Right.
You know, like some of them will use puppets, some of them will do dramatize the story. So it's quite interesting when you go to an ECD classroom and you see this teacher engaged with these learners.
And also,
the teacher is hopping around, jumping around. I mean, it just brings the story to life.
Right.
And you know, it gives you a bit of
goosebumps. But also that, you know, when children see that, even in home,
yes,
they mimic that. So they'll go off and pick up a book, and the next month you'll see them and they'll be using deep voices and high voices, you know, talking to their adult, reading, pretend reading because they're little.
Yes.
But still holding that book, looking at the pictures, looking at the words, reading to their teddies, but using all these different voices. For them, there's so much learning happening there, even though they think they're just playing, you know. So that's also why it's important.
Their cognitive senses are automatically unlocked through 100%. The exercise.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yeah. Because, and I also feel that, you know, when our parents come in and they say they can't read, so the first thing we always tell the teachers is give them a book. Tell them to talk about the pictures to their children when they go home. And I think that's the extension we want to see because a lot of communities don't have libraries.
Mm.
Everyone say, no, take your child to the library. Go to a rural ECD center in the middle of nowhere. Go to Eastern Cape and go to a rural area. Where is the library? There's no library.
Libraries.
The centers are 1 hour away apart from each other. And these kids, I mean, it's, this, if you look at the area they live in, where are they going to go and access a library? So our ECD centers can afford to give that parent that book to take home and bring back. And I think that's more important. So I think also, you know, we must change that narrative that, no, these people can't get this because they're in this area or they can't access this. Yeah. It's us that need to make a difference. Who said that they can't access a book if we don't give them?
And I want to commend you on that point, Sarika and Ashley, because that's a problem. You've come up with the solution some ways, right? There are now libraries in the ECD centers in your network that you've worked with, right? Which now means there will be a possibility of a 10,000 books exposed to this child by the time they reach a certain age. 6 years old. Yes, by the time they're 6 years old. Let's talk about the app, the development of the app. How did that happen? What was that aha moment?
I think that was more...
How did that happen?
Well, I think the way the world is moving, you know, we got to be honest. It's very digital. You know, it's moving in a very digital way.
Yes.
And a lot of learning is happening through digital learning.
Right.
So children in the more urban privileged areas, a lot of them are doing a lot of their learning through digital learning.
Yes.
So now...
Electronic media is a part of the...
Exactly.
Yeah, remember we're in the fourth industrial now? We're moving into the fourth industrial. We actually are in the fourth industrial.
Yes, we are.
So you can't basically... negate education.
Yeah,
in that
schools are, you know, there's now coding as, you know, grade R's are doing coding.
Yes.
And
which
robotics.
Blows my mind, you know.
Yeah.
But that is the way the world is going. So then what we thought is we have this curriculum that's we've designed and developed. And it also aligned with the Department of Education framework.
Okay.
So let's now take this curriculum and put it into game form, which is what we've done. So we've taken our curriculum and we put it into game form called the Bumbaloon app.
Right.
And it's for ages 2 years to 6 years.
Okay.
And it covers all educational skill sets. So it's numeracy, literacy.
Life skills.
Life skills, problem solving, critical thinking, all of those are in the app. And because of the way that, you know, we're 2024, it's now allowing children, and especially our children in these communities, the opportunity to learn through play using a tablet.
Yes.
And for them, that is something that, you know, is mind-blowing. Look what I'm doing.
Yes. Mm.
But so that, you know, we are trying to change their trajectory of their lives. So we don't, you know, so we want them, you know, in a couple of years' time, if they are faced with a tablet and things like that,
they know
what it is. It's not like this completely foreign thing.
They're not intimidated, which would then bring in apprehension. Yes.
And our app as well, it's also been internationally certified by Education Alliance Finland.
Wow.
And it's just an amazing app that covers absolutely everything. And I think, you know, also not just for our outreach projects and our centers, this is also to be used here, you know, in our urban areas. And because kids are spending so much time on these screens, rather let them spend lots of time on Bumbaloon.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's a screen, but it's all educational.
Yes.
It covers all educational skill sets. And the games are all age appropriate. So all the milestones and learning outcomes a 2 to 3 year old needs to meet are in those games. The same for the 3 to 4, 4 to 5. Exactly. And it's building a lot also on the pre-reading and writing skills. You know, our app also has an amazing art board, which is great.
Yes. Because the little ones love art.
Exactly.
All these rich colors.
And it's got templates that relate to, you know, for instance, you know, transport or animals. They can choose little pictures to color in. And also, you know, the visual and audiobooks. So, you know, I just need half an hour so I can finish, or 20 minutes so I can finish cooking dinner. Here, my love, put on your headphones and listen to a story.
Mm.
You know, so it's a really, you know, I think a great way to let your child use a screen in a positive way.
I love that.
Yeah.
So for someone who's now seeing us talk about this app, the Bumbaloon app, is it available and is it readily accessible for everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
It's
market ready.
Market ready. You can download it
on Google.
On Google.
Okay.
Play Store.
And Apple Store.
Yeah.
You can download it.
Okay.
And it's being used in our inclusive centers.
Right.
Inclusive centers are really taking on with this app.
Yeah. And
Of the visually...
With the app, exactly, it's inclusive for children with varying learning abilities.
Okay.
Mm. So if a child has got a bit of a hearing impairment.
Sure.
The app can be adjusted for that child. So okay. the volume can, you know, either be increased or if the tone needs to change, et cetera, et cetera.
And all of that is built into the app.
Well, yes. So we can make that adjustment specifically tailored sure. for that child.
Sure.
Again, if a child's got a visual impairment and we need to, you know, change the font or even change the brightness of the colors,
right.
we can do that. The app is also being used in some schools in the urban areas. And there's a 7-day free trial. So, you know, I think give it a bash and see how your child responds to it.
Yeah.
Because it's a really fun and interactive way for a child to learn.
Amazing. Bumble Learn app. Go out, get it downloaded right now and ensure that your little one is interacting with it. And you need to get involved as well, right? Because that's the bigger part of this conversation that we've had with Ashley and Sirika. Outside of World Literacy Day, which was just last week, which is why we're talking about Africa Tukun, and thank you so much for making the time to join us here on Rise Resilience. What else are you guys up to? What can we look forward to next? What does the future of learning for a six-year-old, my daughter will be six next year, look like in the next while?
Well, I think...
And I'm not asking if you to see into the future. Just based on the data that you already have, where are we going? Or where is it headed?
I think, you know, making learning as fun and interactive as possible sure. is key.
Right.
You know, because the young children, you know, there's learning through play. But because early childhood development and, you know... is that foundation is extremely important. We can't forget that the children still need to be reaching all the educational milestones.
Right.
But let's do it in a fun and interactive way. So that's why we did also bring in Bumble Learn.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we just keep bringing ideas, having our round table meetings.
Okay.
Of how to keep the curriculum fun and interactive, you sure. know. I think that is key. And also, I think for us at the end of the day, you know, our goal is to also just reach as many children as possible.
That,
you know, I think that
for
us, there's no limit. You
yeah.
know, I think education needs to be accessible and fair for all children. And that's the goal here. So, yeah.
I think also that. On the other side, it's the language. Ensure that our app caters for all the languages.
Mm.
That are spoken.
Yeah.
And basically strengthen that part of it.
Right.
So home language is important for us now to look at.
Sure.
And also with that Bellable coming in. So how can we look to upskill our app and our curriculum regarding that?
In fact, on that, Sirika, just, and this could be our wrap-up point, the institutions of learning supported by government, does the department know about what you guys are doing? Are they supportive? Are they coming to the party? Have you invited them? What sort of resources, if any, are they providing you guys with? Because this is really, really important.
So if you look at the Western Cape Department of Education,
sure.
they have accredited our program.
Right.
So we accredited with them. We are basically working with the National Department of Education for inclusion.
Okay.
We are busy with them currently. We will be rolling out our program in Mpumalanga.
What does that process entail?
It's basically funding ECD centers.
Okay.
With our program. And also putting in the Bumble Learn app with our curriculum, because
okay.
remember it goes in tandem, and then assisting centers with inclusion
okay.
and disability. So we basically going to be, that's the focus, because a lot of these communities sort of hide those children away.
Mm.
They are fearful to bring these children out into the ECD centers where they find that their kids will be either sort of like labeled or
victimized.
Yeah,
as well.
Victimized and things like that. So our role is basically identify those kids in those communities
okay.
and give them support. And wow. That's basically what we're looking at, supporting those kids and also giving them an opportunity to be part of the education system and learn and grow. And as Ashley was saying, we basically need to strengthen what we do in those communities as well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, so that's ahead, and we're looking forward to that partnership. I'll call it a partnership.
Right.
The departments in all the provinces do know about us.
Right.
Because we can't just go out to centers without their knowledge.
Yeah.
They do provide certain resources.
Okay.
But not, they're more for grade R. The resources that they provide, we provide resources for the centers in terms of our resource packs. And we are with the Lego Foundation.
Mm.
So each of our centers get Lego. And obviously the Bamba app comes in as well. So,
and I'll tell you why I was asking Ashley. I'm sorry to cut you. Obviously there's a misunderstanding, at least from my standpoint, about what the Bella bill is all about, what it actually means. It's actually what... It's not a bill anymore, right?
It's an act. It's only
the Bella Act.
4 and 5 he didn't sign in, which we will be signing in.
Right, like there's
in 90
so
days.
Much confusion, right?
Yes.
Like I've taken interest in it because I've got small children. But I imagine at in the bigger context, there must be some confusion even for those within the community of the education space who are not really clear about what's what.
Definitely. I think... The most important thing with regards to when an act comes in is basically going to the communities and educating everyone.
Sure.
You have to go and do that.
Right.
For them to have an understanding of the act and what it entails. Because remember, this is dealing with a lot of the leadership of a center. The SGB is the parent component.
Right.
Plays a major role here. Homeschooling comes in as one of the... priorities there as well. So it basically encompasses the education system in its totality as how it's going to be run in communities. But also what's important is they have strengthened, as I said before, the administration of it.
Mm.
How would SGBs basically look at the language policy of that school, and
sure.
how will it... The role it will take to basically finalize that this school is now going to use this language
right.
as a medium of instruction. I think that is more clearly stated in the Bella Bill, which is quite good on from what I look at.
Okay, awesome. Any last words, Ashley?
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having us
thank
here.
Thank you guys for
and,
coming.
And, you know, chatting about our organization and the work we do. And I just think, yeah, let's just also keep remembering how important ECD education is and how those foundations lead to a brighter future for all these children. So thank you so much, William. It's been amazing.
Thank you, Ashley and Sirika from Africa Tikkun. I want to challenge you right now, and you can come back in the comments within a year to go read 10,000 books in the next 12 months. That's a challenge. If a six-year-old can do it... So can you. Thanks for watching.